So you're a fan of Atlanta United.
And you just can't possibly understand how we finished sixth last year.
Or maybe you just don't get how we conceded 53 goals and you want to know if it's going to happen again.
Was it Parata and Miles Robinson?
Nope. Gone.
Sedic and Josetu?
Nope. Gone.
How about Miguel Berry?
Or maybe it was Pineda's tactics.
Double pivot, airplanes, pinching in. Absolutely shambolic.
I'm Mikey Dobbs.
I'm David Katz.
I'm Carmen Butler.
And we're going to talk about it all, because this is the ATL on Fire podcast show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of ATL on Fire, the podcast, where we talk all things Atlanta United football and all things soccer. And I am joined by Dave and Carmen. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing all right.
Yeah. Carmen coming from
a little house incident before this. But oh, yeah. All right.
I know. We were minute to minute whether we were going to have the podcast today.
It's okay. We're okay.
Garage door crisis.
That's some adult stuff
right there. Like, not going to be able to make the podcast. There's a garage door crisis.
There's a lot of people out there like, I know what you're feeling.
I know, exactly. All right. Exactly.
So, and Carmen, you came from a soccer game. What was the news there?
I did. They hadn't finished the first half. It was 0-0. We're hoping for our second win of the season. Go Lakeside.
Yeah, Lakeside.
It's not good. It's not good this season.
It's not good.
But yeah, so glad to be here. I'm excited. Here we go.
So yeah, we're going to recap the Toronto game. We went up there and played those hosers up there in the Great White North, eh? And I got my Bob and Doug McKenzie on, eh? So, like, we first got to, like, thank our sponsors, eh? Like, from Elsinore Brewery, you know? It's actually down here in the great Avondale Estates, eh? We are sponsored by none other than the Wild Heaven, eh? And I heard, eh, I talked to Hayden up there, if you bring a mouse up there in a bottle.
I heard if you found a mouse in the bottle, eh, you get free beer.
Free beer, eh? But don't tell them I told you, eh?
Y'all are having way too much fun, and they're probably like two people who understand.
You haven't seen Strange Brew, then.
Yeah. And it's free on YouTube. Really? I miss the 80s.
I don't know about that.
Okay. God. And then, well, you brought up another movie, My Blue Heaven with all these things, all this stuff.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
We digress. But no, Wild Heaven Brewery, look at that beer getting poured there. You should go up there and get one of these. If you're on the YouTube channel, look at this slow.
Go now.
Pouring beer. Hayden was up there earlier watching the Poland Wales game, and he was trying to entice me to come up there, and it was hard not to. I had to cook dinner for the kids. Dave, you know what else? We're like three podcasts away from hitting 100 podcasts.
Nice. Century.
Century, Mark. Ooh. And I think we're going to have to call Brandon Bogner and say, hey, where is the good bottle of wine to celebrate?
Agree.
If not, I've got that 16.
We're going either to the brewery or the winery or both.
Both.
Yeah. Of course, Wolf Mountain Vineyards. Springtime is upon us. Get up there.
Yeah, lovely place to spend a spring day.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy some wine. Enjoy some lunch. Plan your wedding there. Do all that good stuff.
Yep.
Absolutely beautiful. Are we having any technical difficulties this evening?
Not yet.
Not yet. Dave kicked the cord about 40 minutes in the last one, and we apologize for that. But you know what else, eh? I got like one of these fancy mice, eh? So like no kicking wires now. Look at this. You get to control tactical board.
You're on the YouTube channel. Remote mouse.
And you can.
Did anybody even know that was possible?
You can
fix this.
You can fight Carmen for.
We have dual control.
I was about to say, what is happening? Go ahead, y'all.
You don't need to even use that scene anymore, so we're good.
I know. Now I'm trying to get rid of it. But keep going. Talk amongst yourselves.
So we are going to recap the Toronto game. We went up there and lost 2-0. We were missing 7 of our starters. So we had Gregerson, who I understand went under surgery yesterday or something like that for meniscus surgery.
Meniscus.
I hear he is out for, what, 4 weeks, basically?
They said which, 3 to 4.
Which means, means a month and a half, right?
Yeah.
He won't be back in the mix fully.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, it's surprising. Yeah, normally, I would have said yes, but recently, they've said, like, 3 to 4, and then, boom, three to four, he's back. So
that's fair. So I don't know. Hopefully, he's on the fast track, and it's actually, 4 weeks, but it could be 2 months. Then we're missing Giakoumakis, who evidently they lost today in the qualifiers to Georgia.
Praise Georgia!
Where I guess
thank you, Georgia. For those of you who don't know out there,
Giakoumakis missed the last kick, so he was like, "I got to get back to Atlanta."
Yeah, Georgia. That's why Georgia was playing against Greece for the last Euro qualifying spot in the European Championships this summer, and had they won the game, Giakoumakis would have been gone from the MLS season for at least a month.
Okay.
So thankfully, Giakoumakis blows it, misses the last kick, and they're out on penalty kicks. It was 0-0 regulation. It was a horrible game, a bunch of melees. It was a red card. I mean, I just saw the highlights. But
there was another qualifier game that we have a player on that was going on this afternoon.
Is that true?
That was going to decide whether they're back or not.
Oh, who was that?
I don't know. Hayden texted me from Wild Heaven, and I'll pull it up.
Was it Poland with Sleaze? Hopefully not.
Yes, it was. Poland and Sleaze.
They're still alive, too?
Yeah, against Wales, so I didn't see who won.
Oh, no, did they lose? Oh,
Let's see.
Wales. Come on, Wales. Come on, Wales.
Poland.
Come on, Wales.
Let's see. Here comes the Google. Says 0-0 penalties.
Oh, another 0-0 penalties.
What is
who
this?
Who wins?
I don't know. It looks like Poland won.
Wow.
Yep, Poland 5-4 on penalties. Damn it.
So Bartosz Sleaze in the
Sleaze is in the Euros.
It looks like that's he wears number
that's actually
wears number 8 for Poland.
I'm gonna be honest, that's maybe even worse.
Really?
Yeah. Cause you might be able to survive, you know, maybe I don't know. It's all a disaster.
Yeah, and then we're missing
Almada. Positivity.
Almada could be gone. He's gone this month.
He's gone in this game. He's going to be gone
in Copa. I mean,
it's only a question of whether he's playing in one or two international tournaments.
Yeah.
He's definitely gone for the Olympics. Right. Now, if it's just the Olympics, we get a saving grace because the Olympics is corresponding with the League's Cup, I believe. So it wouldn't be the worst.
Okay.
But it's going to be not good. And Wiley's gone for that, too.
Yeah, Wiley.
I know.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. So you can round out, you know, who was gone for the Atlanta United game. We were missing, who else were we missing? Sleaze, you mentioned.
We got Wiley, Amada, you were missing. Wiley.
Yeah.
Giakoumakis. Mm-hmm. I thought Silva was gone, but no, Silva was available.
Silva was available and Saba was available, so they were.
So it must have been.
And Muyamba was available.
Muyamba was available. Yeah. Must have been. Okay. Who's the other left winger that hasn't been playing? Etienne, was he gone?
Oh yeah, there was a couple of people who weren't really starters.
Yeah, weren't starters, too. But we had a couple. Yeah, those are the big ones. And you know, Dave, let's just talk about the lineup against Toronto. We're on the road. We're missing, obviously. A ton of our good players, even with our good players, to go up there and win and get a tie would be okay, right?
So considering last season we won 3 on the road all season, getting any result, we didn't really tie much either.
We were up against it. Yeah. We were up against it. So
our road record was horrible.
So as far as the lineup, we shift to a 3 in the back or 5 in the back, whatever you want to call it. And so we had, I believe, Noah Cobb, Williams, Hernandez in the back.
No, but Hernandez was playing left back. It was still the same 4.
Was it 4? No.
Yeah,
Hernandez, on the lineup, it says 3 in the back.
Well, the lineup's wrong.
Starting lineup.
Because
and then we had Wolf and Lennon out as the wingers.
I don't think that's the way we were playing.
And then in front of that.
Did you think that was the way we were playing it?
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, so it may be a technicality here, right? Yeah. Because
I just watched part of the first half before we came down here.
So normally when we're in our normal 4 right now, we're playing a lot with Wiley back and Lennon going forward, right? Mm-hmm. So You could say when that happens that it's just three in the back, but it really is a four in the back with just an unbalance going forward. And I thought it was just the same. I thought Lennon was always going forward. Hernandez was staying back just for Wiley. I didn't think they changed the system at all.
No, Hernandez is the three in the back. It was Tyler Wolf is the other wing back.
Yeah, but I didn't see Tyler Wolf back defending any different than like Silva has been, you know, whatever. He wasn't extra.
Not a lot. That's what I was saying. It was three in the back.
Yeah, but when we were on defense, Lennon was coming back to play in the four just like he does normally. So there was, I don't think it was any different than the normal. I mean, we can agree to disagree, but
I disagree.
I don't think we changed the tactics at all. I think what happened was just Lennon replaced Wiley as the guy who typically stays. I mean, Hernandez replaced Wiley as the guy who typically stays back, and he really stayed back. He didn't remotely go forward. But Wiley hasn't been going forward that much at all anyway. I didn't see Wolf playing as a true left back, you know, going forward and back like a winger.
That's my point is Wolf and Lennon were playing wing backs, like a true wing back.
I think Wolf was playing a left midfielder and then Lennon was playing his normal attacking right back.
Above Wolf was Firmino. Where were you seeing Firmino?
Firmino was playing. I thought we were playing two up front, Thiari and Firmino, with Firmino playing a little bit off of him, almost in the Almada role.
Well, we had Saba up there too.
Saba was playing his classic
forward
left three of the front three.
Yeah.
And then Wolf was playing sort of a hybrid of it, but he wasn't playing a back.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, well,
Wolf, I see what they're Wolf, saying in Wolf's that system, but I don't think that's what we look like most of the time. I thought we looked like our normal tactics most of the time, but I thought that Wolf was pinching in the middle a little bit. We were playing two up front. Anyway,
yeah,
it was fluid.
Yeah, I saw a lot of this in at least first 10 minutes. And this anyway, first 35 minutes, we, you know, held it together before we gave up the goal.
Yep.
What did you think about the play with, you know, totally different team on the field that was not our starters?
You know, I was hoping that we would go up there and sort of park the bus. Mm-hmm. I think actually the one my mind is not working really well, but the young center back who we have who comes on, Fortune. The young defensive midfielder who comes on Fortune, he was also on international duty.
Yeah.
So that really precludes, if you will, us parking the bus and really playing with like a third defensive midfielder. I don't think he really had a choice.
Do you know what I think we did instead of park the bus? Yeah. We parked the Guzan. and hear me out here. What we did is Guzan had the ball at his feet so much that first 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm a little biased because I only watched before I came down here the first 35 minutes. But we possessed the ball a ton, played it back to Guzan, and we just slowed things down.
Yep. Which is smart.
Which is smart, right?
Yeah.
But to your point about parking the bus, that wasn't parking the bus. That was just tactically possessing it, making them try to push up, you know, just hold the ball and then say, okay, hey, if we can get a snatch and grab goal, great. You know, we don't need to be totally on the offensive, right? And so I agree. I think that was smart, but it was a park the Guzan tactic, I think, versus park the bus. I don't know what you think about that.
I mean, we played a lot back. I mean, you know, again, so normally if you think park the bus, right, you know, for us, that would be, you know, five in the back or four in the back, but those guys never going forward, mm-hmm. you know, and you would either have a 4-5-1 or a 5-4-1, right? You'd only play one striker and you'd play four in the midfield. That'd be really parking the bus. We didn't really have a team to do that per se. Like, cause again, the extra midfielder, defensive midfielder, who would that be?
Right.
Right. It doesn't exist, right? We have Muyamba, we have Sleaze, we have Fortune, right? So we have McCarty, we have four of them, but two of them were absent, yeah. right? So how do you park the bus when you have two of the defensive guys around?
Yeah, you just had Dax and Muyamba.
So I thought, you know, this was the opportunity to see whether Dax could really fill in. And I thought he was terrific. Now, before everybody gets carried away and say Dax McCarty, you know, can be playing all the time, I think Dax McCarty can be terrific if he's been rested for three games and he's super raring to go, right? I think he's exactly like he was in this game. He hadn't played all season, basically, and he was terrific.
I don't know.
And that's the role.
That one goal, it was either the first or second one, he played a terrible ball.
Yeah.
That led to a goal.
But I thought that that his defensive positioning that he was taking up and the fact that he was protecting the back four, it wasn't like they really had a lot of chances. So that's pretty good considering the team we had out there.
Right up until he laid it off to a guy to get him a goal.
Yeah, but I still think overall his play was pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I thought we held it together fairly well, right?
Yeah, I thought so too until the wheels fell off, but
again, the thing that really disappointed me somewhat is like, you know, we kept, you know, Lennon was bombing forward again still, right? And I was a little bit like, okay, why do we need that with so many players absent, right? Why can't he sometimes play as a defender?
Right? Yeah. Every once in a while.
Well, exactly. Like when Guzan was holding the ball back there, he would like do the classic thing where he tries to bomb it up the right side to a Lennon and or Wolf. And we weren't winning those balls. We weren't getting it forward, and it would just get recycled back to us.
Yeah, Lennon was underlapping, and I thought they protected it overall fairly well. But, I
not too much to be critical of in this game, to be honest. I mean, in terms of if we had our starters there, sure, I would have been happy with a draw or a win. So going there with this team, I thought they showed okay. I mean, that's kind of my opinion, but what's your grade on the B-minus team stepping up to go on the road?
Well, one of the things I would say is that it shows that, God forbid, Steon is not there, right? Our back to Cobb and Williams ain't never going to get us close to top four, right? That's not good enough. I mean, both goals. I mean, maybe we could jump right to the goals.
Yeah, why don't we jump to the first goal, right, where, you know, Noah Cobb doesn't do us any favors by toe-poking as the guy comes across here. But before this, we'll pause here. Any observations on the build-up here, Dave, before this we hit play?
Well, so what I was going to say, I mean, you know, this belies what you're saying, Mikey Dobbs. I think in this clip, at least, I look right and not you, right? Because we look like a classic four across the back. Lennon's on the right, right? You have Williams and Cobb in the center, and you have Hernandez on the left. That's the classic thing. And Dax McCarty is protecting the front two. Muyumba's in the weak side. I mean, we look pretty good defensively. And to be honest with you, what I like about it is Lennon is not super pinched in.
Who are the two in the center? So I see at the top of the circle, that's Williams. Who's in the center?
Cobb.
No, that's not. Cobb is actually up front. He's running back with his arm like this. That's Cobb.
No, that's Dax McCarty.
Are you sure?
Yeah, sure. That's Cobb and that's Dax McCarty.
Okay.
Sure. I think you're getting, you know, switching them up because later
let this play out.
It will be Cobb who olays on this.
Okay. Well, let's watch it then.
So Cobb comes running up and then goes right back and olays it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So Cobb comes flying out to address that. And why? I don't know. I mean, I love to have our guys, you know, I'm always talking about our front, our back two being matched up and getting up the field. I'll tell you when to pause it. Pause it now. So Cobb came flying out to address that. And I'm really for all four being aggressive normally and up the field and winning the ball. But in this case, what in the world are you thinking? Muyumba's there. McCarty's there. There is zero reason for him to come out for that.
I also have no idea how Cobb doesn't put in a real challenge here.
Yeah. So first of all,
it's inexcusable why he doesn't put in.
So first of all, the judgment's horrible, right? He makes an absolute crazy play by coming running out when he doesn't need to. We have two guys protecting the back four. I mean, what I would say is at midfield, that's when you want our center backs matching up and winning the ball when they have time to get on them or whatever. You don't want your center back charging out from the 18 to go challenge a guy when we, especially when our two defensive midfielders are protecting it. That's just crazy. So first of all, that's a crazy move. Second of all, he comes back and instead of actually getting in a challenge, he tries to put his toe in. Yeah, as, I mean, as Mikey
first off, like right here, he could make the decision to be aggressive and slide tackle, like cross it out of bounds, like type of tackle, and do that pretty safely at this moment.
Yeah, because he's still outside the box.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or decide that he knows he's going to be right at the edge of the box and make a very stern challenge. And he does neither and just does like a half, like, I'm not even going to commit to even try to. He could have even toe poked it. I mean, anything. And he does none of it. And
the other thing I would say, again, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in a clip, right? Williams. Right. When you have a center back, one of the things that you saw from Steon, for example, from Gregerson, is that he's reading off the other center back. Right. So when the other center back does anything, God forbid, crazy like Williams is whatever, he's covering in behind him. So Williams right here has got to be ball side covering in behind him. There's nobody over there. Right. There's no reason why he can't come over to help this play. And you'll see he will. But he's so late in reading it. Yeah. It's just shambolic. So yeah,
he could be 5 feet closer towards the ball.
Yeah, right? And play the clip.
And if he was 2 feet, he would have been able to challenge that with the heavy touch. Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, Guzan did not look overly sharp on that.
Yeah, so let's go back for the last. Let's play it. We'll back it up like 3 seconds again. So the question is, I think, despite all of that, that a better goalkeeper makes this safe.
Yeah.
So Carmen, let's see. What do you think?
Yes.
He's first of all, he's too far over in the goal. He's too far center. Yeah. He should be a little bit over. But even if he's where he is, his reaction is slow.
I think his positioning is just fine, honestly. I think it's just 15 years.
But you see too that
old.
Last jump? He goes over to the side.
Yeah, it's just too. It's his positioning is okay. It's just that's
slow
called,
getting down.
That's called a 1 foot difference in everything there.
I mean, not to say this is a fair thing, but there is no way Andre Blake doesn't make that save.
Absolutely.
I mean,
not.
I mean, there's no way, you know, Sean Johnson doesn't make that save.
Makes that save.
And the question that I have in my mind is, does our backup keeper make that save?
We don't know. Right?
That's the thing. We will not know.
He's protect. I mean, it does look like he's going to go far post there.
So
but
this is what happened to us all last year, is that Guzan doesn't really make a huge error here, but he doesn't bail us out either, right? And we probably had 3, 4, maybe even 5 goals, but at least 3 goals last year that I think a better goalkeeper saves.
Yeah.
And it was shown out in the statistics. He had the lowest save percentage in all of MLS last year. And I think that looks like the lowest save percentage in all of MLS.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, actually at the beginning of the year that maybe he looked a little more sprite. Like, and I was thinking, well, maybe he's a little more healed from the Achilles and whatever. But this is the first time I saw, I was like, he's still the same.
What is he, 38 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It's just you lose that spring.
I mean, agree.
You do. I know. I've been there. all right, so that was, what, 35 minutes in?
That was at the 34th minute, correct. Okay.
What else did you observe in the first half? Anything else you want to talk about?
So we only had one chance, really. There was a cross that Saba comes across and volleys it, and he really caught it well.
Yeah,
it was only a couple yards wide, but that was our only chance.
It was a very nice take, yeah. And it would have been a very Saba-like goal had that gone in.
I have to say, so in the 42nd minute, there was a short corner by Toronto. They play short, and Insigne and Bernadeschi made fools out of us. They had 3 consecutive back heels to beat us in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just, and we only sent out one to address it. And then they got a whipped-in cross, and, you know, Guzan threw an arm out and got super lucky to make the save. I know people are like, oh, it was a great save. He did not look like he saw that ball and made a save. He looked like he just stuck out his arm and happened to hit it.
Yeah.
Again, you know, great save.
This is it right here on the replay.
Yeah. We only send one out to defend the corner, and they play triple back heel, which is, you know, pretty terrific soccer. Back heel. back heel, cross, and yeah. that save was really slow. Right, he made the save.
Give it to him. It didn't go in the net.
You're being harsh on that one. That was a good save.
Yeah, it was a good save. I agree with you.
Because none of that was his fault. It was a good save. No. Give it to that was. You can't even say anything other than that was a good save.
It just looked slow to me again. If that's anywhere other than hitting his arm there, it's a goal.
No, I think that was actually good reflexes. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have like the
you keep thinking that
the like leg that. Stuff. Like his arms move. Like when you're older, hey, try move your arms, Dave.
Even his arm.
You're like 50, eh? Your arms move pretty good, eh? But like you can't move those legs anymore.
I can't with you all tonight. I just can't.
All right. So all right. Later in the half, Bernard Essie got his foot caught under him. And goes to the ground and appeals for a penalty. I mean, God dang it. I mean, I love the guy. He's a terrific player. But that is a classic Italian appealing for a penalty. It was pathetic. All right. And then in the 49th minute, we had a great attack. And Lennon whips in a ball to Tiare, who's inside the penalty spot, about the 6-yard spot. Almost the exact same goal that Gigi scored the other day. Right, and Tiare just heads it right at the keeper. Right, if that's Gigi right here, we have it. If it's Gigi, then it's a goal. So watch this clip.
Ooh. All right, we're moving it over on the YouTube, and yeah, that is an early cross.
It's an early beautiful cross again from Lennon.
You know, it's not an awful.
No, it wasn't a terrible header, but I think with Gigi, maybe it's better.
And there's in the MLS, there's only a few players that can give that a little bit more power and a little bit more accuracy. So,
okay, so then in the 49th minute, 53rd minute, which is probably not in the lines, Toronto has a corner kick, and we made the adjustment actually, Mikey Dobbs. I'm gonna say something nice about Pineda. Clearly, at halftime, he said they're playing short against our zone. We talked about how playing short really works against our zone, defending on the corners, and they played short and killed us because we only had one out there. You saw the triple back heel. but in the 53rd minute, we had two guys go out, we made an adjustment. Aren't you impressed? Yeah, we made an adjustment.
Well, good job, Pineda. I want to hear both of you say it.
Good job, Pineda.
Yeah. All right, I think it.
Yes, you know, I mean, I'm pretty positive about Pineda in this game.
Yeah. Okay, I like you.
In the 55th minute, it's not going to be in the highlight package. our replacement refereeing. So Saba's dribbling in the box along the end. The defender clears it, clearly off Saba. Clearly, Saba's super pissed that he fucked it up. He puts his hand on his head, right? And he's like, God, I can't believe I blew it. The referee looks at it as Saba's walking back towards our own goal and says, corner. and Saba's like, you did just see me get all pissed off because I blew it, didn't you? What the hell?
Do we still have replacement refs? We're still in replacement ref territory?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's only like, $1.5 million difference of what they're asking for?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So in the 70th minute... that's when they almost score down the right side. We were very, very, very lucky.
This is when it hits the near post.
Hits the inside of the post and goes behind Guzan. You're like, ooh. Yeah. You know, the warning signs were there.
This is the one that Dax hacks it, so it didn't end up being a goal.
Dax gives it away, and they go right down the right side. But again, the defending... You know, I don't know if you want. Are you going to show the clip, Carmen?
No? I'll try to find it.
No, it's okay.
You were right there.
Oh, I was.
You were like right on it.
Is this close?
Yeah, you know, close enough.
Let's play it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Come along on the adventure, everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, there it goes out.
Well, whoop.
Yeah.
Right behind.
Oh, goodness.
Gotta be a goal, but it's not.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And now what I really want to talk about Well, actually, first, the 71st minute when we give up the goal. All right. So it's a shot from the top of the box. And now, Carmen, I think you want to answer the question.
Oh, okay.
Guzan error or not?
Oh, okay. So I need to watch it. Let's see what happens. Is this about where we are?
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, let me put it on so everyone can watch it with me.
Let's watch it. Watch the action.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to be friendly to keepers. I'm going to be the keeper mother that I am. And let's see.
Said burn.
Okay, all right. Ooh, got to parry that first.
Again, a little bit slow.
You got to parry that out further wide. Yes. My keeper son has come home really upset about goals like that if he's ever given them up. Yeah,
because it wasn't like a blast. I mean,
no, it was a very soft hit. He kind of mishit it. Osorio pummeled it into the ground.
Well, the other thing I want to point out on that, if you go back, is Lennon gets caught in just the ball watching land for sure.
That happens. I mean,
yeah, and it, you know, I
on the back post, you got to expect your keeper to do better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm being harsh here, but he, is more.
But you're right. If you want your defender to be a little more on the, hopefully, like again, as a keeper's mother, that's probably what I would tell my kid. It's like, oh, but if your defender had been on their toes, maybe. Yeah.
But I think that the
making excuses for
the problem is
pretty much
Lennon didn't see where the offside line was on his own team. Already been like a
little bit. I don't think it's hard to blame the back when it comes off the keeper.
100%. It's not that's just a.
Okay, so now, so Toronto is clearly with Herdman as the coach. I don't know if you know who Herdman is, but he was the Canadian women's team coach. Yeah. Then he was the Canadian's men's team coach. Did really well with both. Canada had been terrible in kind of both.
Yeah.
And then he was terrific in both, qualified the men's for the World Cup, if you recall. And then he has now moved to Toronto as the head coach. And with him as a coach, Insigne and Bernadeschi finally look like they're better players. Osorio's playing well. This looks like a way better team. I'm not saying that they're going to contend, right? But to me, this is a middle-of-the-pack team. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, they look pretty sharp. I mean, three back heels? Any team that's doing three back heels. Look out, MLS.
Oh, goodness.
No, they've got some talent. Insigne, I mean, even that little kind of curly he tried to score early on, I mean, kind of unlucky. I mean, I could see him doing a Giakoumakis type of goal on that.
He's as a very classy player in Europe, and he hasn't really hit his stride in MLS. He hasn't been that player yet. He's sort of apologized to the fans and said, I'm a better player than this. Just wait.
That's what I mean. I that little curler he tried, you could tell he was disappointed, and that's where you can see like a guy who's got that level of class. He can pull off that Giakoumakis.
Some guys just lose a step. He's not that old, though. Yeah. He's only like 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's
youngin.
He's not, that's, you know, like young or just anything, off the but prime, he's, yeah, I mean, not really. Maybe he's 31. I mean, but he's not old. Okay, so now stop all the positivity.
Stop it. Okay.
So we go on the road with all the starters missing. And who's on the bench?
Silva.
How in the world does Silva start on the bench at this game?
Another question, was Mascara gone? He was one of the ones
that
was
gone? Mascara came in this game at the end.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see, I mean, as typical, Atlanta United is always overcautious with the injuries. He's coming back off the injury, and I think he was probably on a minutes, watch or whatever.
I might have put Mascara out there in Saba's position. Saba's played a couple games, have Mascara come in, and then actually have Saba do the reverse, like coming in with strong legs at the 60th, 70th minute. You disagree?
Yeah, I'm like, we got nobody or whatever. Saba and Silva have to start. Right, you don't have Almada and Gigi. We have four players who play up top, right?
Yeah.
If you have missing two of them, you got to play the other two, right? I think there's no choice.
So you start Silva, is what you're saying? And pull who? Put him where? Where are we putting him?
I certainly would have started him over Tiare, and I would have started him probably over Wolf too.
Well, he would have been in Wolf's position had he started.
Okay.
Well, as I told you, I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
I would have had him move up to the striker because
Nothing in soccer says that a player can't play two positions, Pineda.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says that.
Yeah, I know. You said that before the game, that that's who you wanted up top.
Yeah, and I said he would never do it because he never would move the position. I thought he would still start, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was Silva up there, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, again, Mascara is never a bad choice to sub in late in the game to get that.
Yeah, speed. We don't know about the injury, so I think it's tough to say whether or not Mascara should have started. Yeah. He came on quite late, and when he did come on, he looked electric. Yeah. So I was like, I would have changed that earlier, probably before the goal. Yeah.
So I think Toronto had a lot more shots on goal, but in terms of shots on target, we are pretty close with them.
Shots were 21-7 in favor of Toronto. Shots on target were 10-3. Okay, possession was 52-48. Expected goals was 2.9 to 0.6.
Yikes. Oof. Yeah, I mean, Saba's shot.
We got crushed, people.
Saba's
Saba's
chance was really the only one that was like, you know, and they probably don't count that too high on the XG too, the way that it came in and he volleyed it. So
yeah. So I think tactically you have to say, you know, Dax McCarty and whatever, we got it right. I think, to be honest, if he doesn't make the choice of Guzan and goal, we don't give up either of those goals and it's a tie.
Just based on goalkeeping.
I don't. You know, it would be
so. We've been talking about it, right? You know, player evaluation is so key. It's particular on these in these key moments, right? You know, sometimes we're going to win at home, you know, 4-1, or, right. You know, or whatever, and that doesn't matter. Yeah. But in the key moments, and when people are missing, you know, this is what we've said: the pinching in is going to cost us, and that sometimes the player evaluation is going to cost us. And I honestly think we might have gotten a tie. I mean, we don't know because we don't really know how the backup goalkeeper is, Cohen. But,
And so again, we said if we get top four by the end of the season, that will be great.
Miracle.
And that's kind of scary at this point.
And it has nothing to do with us not being a top four team. It's just that we're not going to have our starting team so much of the year.
Right.
That's not including any injuries.
Well, problem is even with our top starting team, we could play even better than we are.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say when we've had our starting team, we've scored a lot of goals. Although, to be fair, we had our starting team on opening day, and we got shut out at Columbus. Yeah, now it's Columbus. They're the best team. Yeah.
I don't know. If we weren't losing people for international duty, I would be very positive about this team. I think they performed, you know, I would feel good. I would feel good about even the four.
And I certainly feel positive about the way that the second team played in Toronto on the road. Like, I have no – like, that team – you know, should be proud of at least putting in a, you know, a solid game. So.
And here's the problem though, right? So this was our first chance to see, albeit in a really dramatic fashion, what we would be like with not our best team. And it wasn't a disaster. I think tactically we were okay. And we hung in there. We could have gotten a draw, as I said.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't great. So I got to go with,
We certainly didn't do a whole lot of counterattacking or anything with that the Guzan hold up in the back, right?
And the guy who was real bust, Firmino. So everybody's been talking about Firmino. He's scoring all these goals with the twos, right? This is his chance to get the start, blah, 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 blah. He did nothing in this game. Aww. And he didn't, you know, it's not even sometimes, you know, good. The idea that you're going to come in and be the best version of yourself is nuts. But I was just looking to see his movement. His movement wasn't great, and he seemed a little slow. I mean, I'm not going to make a judgment on him after one game, but I was looking to say, like, does he show signs to me that he's going to be good? And I didn't see it.
Yeah, especially coming in as a 10 to sub in over Almada. Like, that's a void.
He had a free role in this game, you know, to play attack. And
yeah, I didn't see a lot of creativity, that's for sure.
Certainly didn't come close to scoring. He didn't come close to assisting anybody. Like,
yeah, I didn't see any setups.
Wasn't offsides.
He got offside?
No, was he?
Oh, no. Miguel Barry just scored him up. Like, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Did Miguel Barry score or did get any assists this week?
No.
Okay.
Come on. You could just write that in the book.
So, do we want to talk any more Atlanta United, or should we move on to the U.S. Men's
National Team? I have something else.
Nations League.
Which we're going to move on to next. So, this is what I want to talk about, right? There's two things. I want to do one thing that's a clip, and I want to talk about maybe on the tactical board. But before we do that, I want to say, so here's a question. This is a big question. And maybe this is a little bit of my rant. Maybe it's your rant. I don't know. But so MLS has not conformed to the international calendar. So everywhere else in the world plays fall through the winter and into the spring.
Yeah.
We don't. And that's because we didn't want to compete against the other major sports. Whatever. That was a decision that was made.
Right.
Okay. Right now, you know, whether we ever revisit that, I don't know. But that's clearly not being revisited anytime soon. But, right? Why do we insist on playing through international breaks on the calendar, particularly because as the league grows and gets better, we're going to have more and more internationals, as you've seen even like Sleaze and Gigi, right? You know, clearly internationals, right? Yeah. Abram, international. All these people are internationals. And the league makes a mockery of itself because some teams have their full team and some teams have like nobody.
Well, I mean, MLS right now is making a mockery of themselves. I mean, they really are. With the whole Open Cup and saying, oh, we're only going to have eight teams. I mean, it really is a mockery. So, but here's the thing, Dave, on your point, there are two things that MLS fans want, right? The number one thing is promotion and relegation. Never going to happen.
Not anytime
soon. Ever.
No.
Never in my lifetime is it going to happen because of the way that Arthur Blank doesn't, like, Arthur Blank is an investor in every other 29 teams in the MLS. So it's just a different model, okay?
Yeah, so, the league-owned entity.
It's a league-owned entity. So put that out of your mind, people. But the one thing MLS can do, Dave, is move to the international soccer schedule. Why are they not doing
that? You mean the whole fall, spring, or just...
Yeah, fall, spring. Okay. Get on board with the rest of the world. That's how the rest of the world plays, right? Is there any other league that doesn't?
Not that I know of.
No. And it screws everything up. I mean, it's so hard to get consistency of getting MLS teams with their best players during important, very important times of the season, especially like we're seeing now where we're missing players, you know, key players that you spent all your money on. The only thing that MLS is falling back on is that everybody makes the MLS Cup, right? Like the playoffs.
So I'm going to slightly take issue with you a little bit in that to say that I'm not sure that us having this current schedule that we have is the worst thing. Competing against baseball is a really good thing. Taking on a football in America is tough.
We're not taking on any of them. We're on Apple TV now, Dave. No, we're not taking on any of them.
Scheduling wise.
No, we are on Apple TV now. We're our own little bubble, dude. That for 10 years, you got to sign up for MLS Pass. They made that decision. So now we're not competing against any of those other major league sports.
Yes, you are, though.
Because, no, we're not.
No, so let's say you move to a fall to spring schedule, right? And then you have, we play Saturday and Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So Saturday games, we play Saturday night, and then we often play Sunday afternoon or Sunday night. So Saturday afternoons and evening, we're playing against college football. And Sunday, we're going against NFL. So you might have the Apple TV package even, but you have to make the decision to shut off the football game. Right?
Yeah.
So that's going head to head with those sports. Even if we have our own contract, so we're not worried about us not being on TV, there's still people making a choice of what to watch. How many Americans are going to be like, oh yeah, I'm giving up my football?
Well, you're talking about the people who go to Mercedes-Benz, right? So who's doing that? Who's deciding to log into Apple TV to begin with?
Yeah.
Right, that's not committed to do that anyway over Georgia, UGA, or whatever. I've got the dual screens, dude. When that's happening, if I've got to figure out whether it's Falcons or UGA or whatever, you're doing both.
I just think
we live in a world where you can do both now.
Well, I just think there's a whole bunch of fans, for example, that are coming out to Atlanta United games. That are big sports fans. They're really becoming, you know, American soccer fans. Right, that are also football fans, and they're during the college football NFL season, they're not going to watch it. But because it's not on at that time, they'll watch it over baseball. especially because you can even be an Atlanta Braves baseball fan and they play every single day.
Yeah.
So then you can just skip one or whatever.
Comment on the YouTube, because I don't believe any of the UGA fans are signing up for MLS Pass yet.
I don't think it's huge yet, but I think
and all
there
the
is
people
a small
signing
percentage.
Up for MLS Pass are signing in on the game day, and at minimum, they're watching with the other games
but
in the background.
To grow the fan base, you then have to compete.
But
and I don't. Whereas if you're in the summer, you
they've
don't
been
have
trying
to
that for 10 years on broadcast TV and have lost. They're not winning over the average fan. They're winning over the average fan in the state in the stadium.
Even the TV audience is growing every year.
No, they're not. No one would know. MLS Pass isn't given any data on that, Dave. It's been a year.
It was growing before this contract.
No, it really wasn't.
I think it was.
No, that was the problem. Is why they couldn't actually get a deal other than MLS Pass with Apple TV is because it really wasn't growing. It's pretty stagnant.
Anyway,
10 years.
I still think that I'm okay with us not trying to compete against college football and pro football, but I do think it's completely shambolic for us to not even observe the international break and have some teams have lots of players missing. And, you know, I know why they're doing it, right? Because you have Leagues Cup, right, in the middle of it, and there's so much, schedule congestion, right,
yeah.
That it would be a real problem if they started to have the international break. But still, like, I would even extend the season a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Same.
I don't know. They've got to do something to conform with
it. Because it becomes
football.
A joke, right? I mean, remember last year when we went and we lost, 7-0?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and to be fair, again, to Pineda in that game, you know, we didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's one thing. And then if we go to the highlight package at minute 88.
Minute 88. You're digging deep on the Toronto game, Dave.
Yes, I am. Okay, let's set this up. So Toronto has, they're up 2-0, so the game's basically over, right? In the 88th minute, Toronto has the ball in their own half, and they're going to play it wide down our left side, right? So it's on Hernandez's side, right? And Bernadeschi is going to get the ball with Hernandez one-on-one. And I want you to watch what Williams does coming over as the help defender.
Okay,
play the clip. So it's played wide on the side. Bernadeschi's pinched in a little bit. It gives him a chance to run at him. But watch Williams come over.
Just uses him as a cone.
He takes a terrible angle. So go back again, Carmen. I want to show it one more time. I want to tell you when to freeze it. All right.
You're okay. All just right. Hit play.
And we'll go.
Pinch. Yeah, I'm going to play. I'll tell you when to freeze it.
Goes out wide. We've got four back in the line. Bernadeschi cutting into the
freeze
corner
it.
Of 18.
Freeze it. Okay. So right here, Bernadeschi is going at Hernandez right at the corner of the outside box, right? Hernandez is in pretty good defensive position. Yeah. And he has help in Williams, right? So what Williams should be doing is taking a good angle, right? And actually making a double team and making a play, right? So, you know, Hernandez has the initial tackle. Williams should really only be there till the guy gets beat. But instead, he tries to come over and force the play, and he literally picks off his own defender. He runs right into Hernandez, and Bernadeschi's like, okay, yeah.
Thank you. And to be fair, like, Hernandez is young. He should be able to keep up with Bernadeschi to push him wide at this point. He should be, like, at this point, you expect Hernandez to be a player to close the space right now and at least push Bernadeschi out towards the white line.
And he
here.
Should push it, be running him into Williams' tackle, right?
Yeah,
that's how you play pressure cover,
right?
But play the clip. Watch him come across.
Oh my gosh.
That is horrible. Horrible angle, horrible help defending. And now we've pointed it out twice, right? In fact, three times if you include the clip at the beginning of this game. In the last two games, twice. Williams has played terrible coming over to help.
But
that's
my point
is a concern.
Is Williams overcommits there and not trusting that Hernandez can take care of his guy?
Yeah, he does everything wrong. Bad angle, overcommits, runs into his own guy. Yeah. I mean, that's shambolic defending.
Had he held his ground a little bit
more. Because we had 2v1 in a pretty good spot there.
Yeah.
With no one else for Bernadeschi to pass to, right? There should be no problem. Yeah.
Yeah, because Hernandez keeps him wide there, then he's got to take an off-angle shot. But instead, Williams commits way too much in the inside, uses that as his little...
So, Carmen, bring up the tactical board.
All right.
Just going to show you briefly what I think.
Let's see. How do I do this? Sorry, guys. Y'all got to give me warning for some of this stuff.
No, you're the producer extraordinaire. You can do anything.
All right, tactical here we go. Board. Tactical.
You can do anything.
Oh, this is right where we lost power last time.
Yeah, but now we won't because we have the remote mouse.
Here we go. And
transition. All right, Dave.
Okay, can you bring it up to the
floor? Bring it up.
No, you're in control.
I can do
now,
that
Dave.
Too, but yeah. All right, so it's basically where we stopped the clip was sort of here. Right, so Bernadeschi's coming here, and Williams is basically right here, right? So, actually, Hernandez was a little bit further inside, showing him the outside, right? Mm-hmm. So, what should happen is Williams should take up as they come here, right? Which he's still showing them the outside. They end up kind of like here, right? Put the ball in there. Williams should take a better angle to sort of here. If he's standing here, right, now the moment that Bernadeschi tries to push it by him and go like here, right, if Hernandez doesn't stay with him, boom, he can make the tackle, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, he actually comes...
and puts a pick on
he
Hernandez.
Takes a terrible angle and comes straight across to here, right? And he ended up ends up running into him like right here. And then Bernadeschi drills over here and beats the two of them with a pick, right? But my point being that classic, you know, defending, and we saw this in the first half that Williams did terribly in the first half. I'll show it maybe in a second. So where they had it here, Hernandez had him in good position, right? He was low. He was showing him the outside, right? He had him basically here. All you have to do is wait here, right? And be ready because the moment he tries to make a move on him, right? So now if somehow he gets beat and he comes back across this way,
everyone knows, Guzan knows, I got to cover the near post. Right. And there wasn't anybody far post, I don't think, on the...
There was nobody. It was just that two. Yeah. So it's just 2v1 defending, and it was terrible. Right? And we saw this actually earlier in the first half with Williams. So in that case, Williams was here. Cobb makes that crazy step up. Lennon's back here, right? And I forget who gets in behind him. Is it Insigne? Doesn't matter. But anyway, he comes in here. Cobb goes running up and then comes back. But here's the thing. Williams stays over here the entire time. And, you know, again, the moment that Cobb goes running out, let me move McCarty. The moment that Cobb comes running out here to address the player, right, and then he runs in behind him, Williams, any defender worth his salt, there was nobody over here, would have just drifted right to the middle. If he's right here, then there's no problem.
You're going back to the first goal now.
Yeah, the first goal. He's not reading it at all, right? So he's just like over here, and then the guy gives me, oh, yeah, I got to come over, and never gets over there. Or he's over here, and he's like, oh, shit, and he pressures it over here and runs right into him. His defending is woeful. There's a reason why he got released in MLS. So anybody who thinks that, you know, Williams is going to be able to carry us, you know, particularly if Gregerson is not there, I think they got another thing coming. We've seen, you know, it's early. Could he get better? Maybe. But all the early signs say that he does not read the game at all.
Yeah. There we go. There's Atlanta United. Game set 4 or 5 in the bag.
Four
in the bag. 2-2. Two road games, 2 losses. 2 home games, 2 wins.
That's correct.
Who would have thunk?
We are consistent.
Okay. All right. So, who are we playing next? We're playing Jose Martinez in Montreal on Easter Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that true? We are playing on
That's
Easter
another
Sunday.
Glorious,
how do you feel
glorious MLS scheduling. Unbelievable.
Yeah, not even just Easter Sunday. It's an early afternoon game.
And what are we ranked now? We're like 8th in the Easter
Conference?
But
we had that early bye, like, so we have a fewer games.
It doesn't look great, honestly, though. I mean, there's some other teams. Like, and by the way, Miles Robinson's team right up there at number 1.
We knew that.
And, you know, Miami number 2 with like 2 games in hand. So
Just got to go back on the top left.
There. Top left.
And you'll see the next game. Yeah. There we go. Now scroll down.
We got Chicago.
No, it's weird. It,
is it Montreal?
No, it's up, actually.
It's Chicago. It's Chicago. It's not Montreal. Chicago on Sunday.
Yes. Why is Google laying it out like this? It's so in, not.
Yeah, that's weird. It's, but, yeah. So Chicago coming in on Sunday. It's got to be a win. Right, look at where Chicago is. So we're in eighth. We've played one fewer game than everybody else, basically. Chicago's in 12th. I mean, it's early days. It's the table is still sort of sorting itself out. But
I could see this being the upset home loss.
Really? Who we do we have everybody? Who's back and who's not back?
Presumably everybody's back.
Is everybody okay? So that's the question.
Should be. Why not?
Is Almada gone still?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, if everybody's back.
The international
back.
Break is over. Everybody should be back. Right. Now, whether we rest players because they got tired on the international break, I don't know. Yeah, but
okay.
Should have everybody back.
All right. Then, yeah, we should win that.
Against Chicago at home? I mean, if you're not going to win that.
Yeah. But we're not going to have a home field advantage, right? Like, I mean, there's going to be, what, 30,000 people
there
at best?
It's
going to
be fairly empty, I think, because it's Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people.
Most likely. Yep.
But.
So we were right,
Jesus
though, by
saves,
the way.
Though,
we,
so maybe Brad Guzan will have his day.
We definitely called it at Toronto that without those players, we had no chance. Both we all predicted a loss. Right? So we'll go around. All right, Carmen, what are you predicting against Chicago?
I'm going to go win 2-1.
Oh, even predicting a score.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go tie 2-2.
I got us with a win. Okay. In fact, I got us with a two-goal win.
Two goals.
3-1.
All right. 3-1.
3-1. By two goals. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
Uh-oh.
The Colonel has some issues with Dave going nuts about Williams' defense.
All right. Let's hear it. Like, what are the comments?
What's the critique? What's the critique?
I don't know. I have to wait for the actual critique. He's just, you know.
He's against. All right. So
he's talking about the international schedule. Just observe the FIFA breaks. I agree. It. That's what we meant. You know, just don't. Play while the players are on international break.
But no, Williams on both of those goals, not being positioned well is about reading the game, and he definitely picked Hernandez on that game.
He ran right into him.
And
how is that good defending?
And while I would say the first goal was more on Noah Cobb and Guzan, that Williams could have been inched in a little bit more.
Yeah, he could have bailed us out in the first goal. Not his fault, but any player who's reading the game, there was nobody over there. He could have been over there and bailed us out.
He was in the middle with no duties at all and could have, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go make a play.
Because that guy had a heavy touch, too, and had he scooted in a little bit more.
Wasn't it that easy? Yeah. Wasn't that hard, I mean?
All right. How about into good news for American soccer? Mm-hmm. Dos Acero.
Dos Acero.
Wait,
has it ever ended that way before?
Yeah, I know. It's so predictable. But actually a pretty solid win. But U.S. men's national team looked good, right? I thought the lineup was good.
What did you think of the lineup?
Well, first off, I mean, we played so bad in the...
We were awful against Jamaica.
The Jamaica team, the game, is literally the luckiest win of U.S. men's national team soccer I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Luckiest win you'll ever see in soccer, in fact.
It wasn't good.
I mean, that was a horrible game. So let's just erase that.
Luckiest ever, but it was certainly up there.
Okay, well, name.
I don't know. I can't think.
Literally, name one that's luckier than that because it was. I mean,
actually, you know, the original game that got us into the qualifying for the very first World Cup, Paul Caligari at Trinidad and Tobago in the 90th minute with a terrible bounce after a 20-yard ball. That was a luckier win.
Okay,
to get us into the Italy World Cup in 1990.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay. It's at least second.
I was about to say, Mikey Dobbs, you literally asked that question to the only person.
Yeah,
you
but
could
hold
out.
On. Did one team deserve it, though, and one not deserve it in each of those games? Did the 1990 team deserve it, is what I'm asking.
No.
No, they
didn't. Were awful.
We were awful.
Like,
okay.
We actually didn't deserve to win at all. It turned out they dominated us in the game at home. Right. We were terrible back then.
Yeah, it was destiny, Dave. You're wrong. Because we,
it's a great goal.
We end up going to Italy and playing them strong. I mean, and then the Italians were like, "Hey,
we started out well, but then we got crushed."
U.S. soccer, look out! Who's this guy with red hair?
Right.
Okay. But I want to say, though, this goal by Tyler
Okay, but
Adams,
so let's stay. First of all, what do you think of the starting lineup for the U.S. in this game?
Can you remind me who the starting lineup was?
Yeah, so we started, oh my goodness. So Scally came out, and instead it was back to Serginho Dest.
Good
and
move.
We had Anthony Jedi Robinson. And
love
then,
Jedi Robinson.
And then we had the center back. It was Tim Ream, and it was Richards.
Yeah.
Check. So obviously our boy...
Tyler Adams comes back.
Well, yeah. So Tyler Adams comes back at defensive midfield, and he plays behind McKinney and Reyna.
Yeah.
Right. But Miles Robinson is what I was going to say is that Miles Robinson doesn't play. How do you think about Ream and Richards over Robinson?
Well, I think Robinson missed an opportunity in the Jamaica game to cement himself. I mean, he played very conservative. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't do the things that show confidence on what else is in his game beyond just athletic defensive play. He didn't create things with splitting lines or anything like that. Or am I wrong on that? Like, I feel like he didn't necessarily say, hey, I've got to start in this final.
Against Mexico. I agree with you. I didn't think he was fabulous. I didn't think he was terrible either. Like,
no, I didn't think he was terrible either. But I certainly think he didn't.
I mean, certainly the goal that we gave up had nothing to do with him.
No, my point is he played very conservative. Mm-hmm. He played not to lose. Mm-hmm. He didn't play to win.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I want the best out of Miles Robinson. The best of Miles Robinson is when he is playing like that cocky defense and also playing the, I'm going to step up, win it, and then split lines. I didn't see any of that in the Jamaica game.
Yeah, fair.
Okay.
And then the big one was the, you know, Haji Wright starts over Bellingham. So what do you think of that?
Well,
or
I mean,
Ricardo Pepi.
Of course, Flo didn't look great in the Jamaica game. I don't think he particularly played bad either, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harsh to say that had he
been... Yeah, Wright comes in and then, you know, changes everything, though, in the Jamaica game.
Yeah, I mean, he
scores.
That was after the lightning strike of luck.
Yeah, the own goal.
So if Flo was in, I mean, if Flo had been on the other side of that, he would have looked great too, I bet. So,
yeah, I mean, both of those guys look, you know, great when they're coming off the bench in the last 30 minutes. The guy's tired. But we haven't really, neither of them, or even Ricardo Pepi for that matter, have shown against good teams that they're ready from the first minute to lead the line and look good the whole game.
But I think Flo Balogun's got more... skills, like he's got more to offer in a 90 minutes than Pepi or Haji Wright. Again, I think
Balogun's movement is a little bit better than Haji Wright. I really do.
Both. Well, Pepe's got good movement too.
Pepe's got good movement too.
Yeah.
I agree.
So at this point, I'm still a Flo number one person.
Okay.
You know,
I think the jury's still out. We really need to have a guy who fits in. I mean, certainly the players around him, Claudio Reyna and Weah and Pulisic, and we have guys who can really, really create. And then we've got guys behind them, right? So you've got McKinney, you've got Tyler Adams, you've got Musa, right? We've got a terrific engine room.
Yeah.
Right? All of that looks really good.
Don't you think that, I mean, I will say Gio changed that Jamaica game when he came
Can
in.
Can you go back to the lineup, Garmin?
Started putting those, I mean, you see his quality for sure in the Jamaica game.
He came on and was great.
Gio Reyna. Yeah, I mean, there's little confident passes that probably only he and Pulisic can pull off on this team were fabulous. So, yeah, what's the lineup here?
Yeah, you've got it all.
Oh, this is
the starting lineup.
Mexico game, yeah.
So what do you think about Cordoza coming off in the defensive midfield? Right, so Tyler Adams only played half, right?
Yeah.
Right. And Johnny Cordoza came in the second half.
You know, I don't remember a whole lot about him in that game.
Maybe
that's a good thing. I don't
he's
know.
He's really young, right? I don't know. Maybe you can look up how old he is. But he's super young. He looks pretty good. I mean, I still think Tyler Adams is a a really, really terrific defensive midfielder. Obviously, he's had his injury problems, hasn't played in a very long time. Everybody was very surprised to see him starting because he's been back for three games.
Yeah, because in the Jamaica game, there was clearly a treaty between Berhalter and where is he now?
It's, yeah, because he came on.
Is it Bournemouth, right?
Up, yeah.
And so they were like, dude, don't play him any more than 30 minutes. Yeah. That's our deal.
He came on and came off.
And then he came off. Like,
yeah, he was subbed and then subbed off because he came on for the last 30 minutes, but then they went to overtime. So,
but I mean, it's one of the best long range strikes I've seen in a long time.
Okay. So now,
one of the best.
So Cardoza is 22.
Okay. Currently, I was going to say, I thought he was 21, but anyway, he's really young.
Yeah. Baby. But, let's see.
Yeah. When we pull this up on the replay here, that he is a good 35 out? I mean, he's 35.
It's a long way.
It comes off a corner kick, goes out, comes back to the corner, and then recycles back to him. And he's got his arms up here, and he just says, "Ah, cracker."
So I know what happened. Do you know what happened? Yeah.
What happened? Well,
I do know this. I do know that he was in the middle of the field with his arms up saying, "Pass it to me. I want to take a shot from really far out." And that's exactly what he did.
I have it on good authority that they retrofitted him with a mechanical hamstring. That's he can shoot that way. I mean, look, he goes in for surgery on the hamstring, and he comes out with that. He's got to be.
I love every angle of this.
That can't be a normal hamstring.
He got.
I mean, also for a guy who's been out for a year with a hamstring injury to hit that.
Yeah.
It's got to be that they gave him a super hamstring. Yeah. Or maybe they gave him a hamstring from
Steve Austin.
Yeah.
So pretty. So
that's got to be what happened.
It's an 80s theme tonight. People look it up. Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Bill, you know, not Bill
or
and Ted, but
Hercules or The Rock. Yeah. Something.
Strange Brew. But that was something.
I have it on good authority.
Well, I think that's the only replay we need to watch. I mean, Reyna scores later on in the game.
Yeah,
which is
Okay, so now we got to talk.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so we get to the second half, right? We score the second goal. Gio Reyna scores. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, he scores. They go celebrate in the corner. And the number of bottles that were thrown at the American players was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just throwing beer bottles left and right, the crowd.
I missed that, but
it was horrible.
Probably because I was celebrating, high-fiving people.
Same, I missed that.
Yeah. I mean, they almost hit multiple players. Yeah. I mean, there was probably, I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but there was probably a good 20 bottles thrown at them in the corner. So that's, first of all, they lose their mind, right, or whatever. And then, you know, God bless. I was like, look, you know, the Mexican fans haven't done their chant that's been getting them into trouble the whole time, right? And they get down 2-0, and they start the chant again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so first of all, regardless of what you think of what they're saying, right, and you know, I'm not Mexican. I don't really know exactly the heritage of the word or whatever, but it's clearly offensive to people, right? And on top of that, right, whether it's offensive to people or not, right, they clearly know that they're not supposed to do it, that FIFA's putting a crackdown. And I, in my opinion, I think they should put a crackdown. You can't just have fans chanting, you know, things.
Here's what I'm going to say, especially after what you said, like, sticks and stones will break my bones. I think if people are throwing stuff at players to try to injure them, let's address that first.
That's huge.
That's huge.
Right.
Like
you can't do it. You cannot. I mean, I'm all for rivalry, but you cannot be throwing shit at players.
Yeah.
You just can't.
No, you cannot.
You can't have an atmosphere where the players go celebrate in the corner and you get.
Don't feel safe. Yeah. I mean, that's stupid. So, like, to me, that's the bigger of the two problems of the immaturity of the Mexican fans are there that can't handle the fact that the U.S. won, that they've got to say immature stuff that are words that are stupid. And then do things that are violent and could literally send a player to the hospital with a bottle to the head, easily stitches and whatever. So that, to me, that's like the something that they've got to address with the Mexican fan base. Because that's kind of the root of it, right? It's the
At this point, immaturity. Las Vegas was the ultimate in this, and now at this point, we cannot play a game and win against Mexico without having incidents.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah,
right. I love the rivalry. I love them being passionate, whatever. But stop throwing shit at players.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And if FIFA doesn't want you to have the homophobic shit chant, stop it. Yeah. And on top of that, they waited till they were down 2-0, so they knew better, and they were just pissed off and wanted to throw the game. So stop being a jerk.
Yeah, well,
like, come on, have some maturity. Stop being a sore loser, right? Be like, look, we got beat. They were good. We walk out, you know, tip a beer to them.
But that's where the, you know, they didn't do anything to organize anything to make fans accountable for it. They probably just all walked out, and they'll all recycle back in the next game. And be allowed back in.
Well, apparently they had done some things where they had, for a while, they had, you know, had identifications and things, and they had a whole campaign to stamp this out. Because this was happening in Mexico, too, in Liga MX. And they stamped it out for a while in Mexico, and it sort of creeped back as they've, you know, laxed a little bit. But honestly, in my opinion, right? So FIFA asked you not to do this. They've done it. They got already a game ban where they didn't get to play in front of fans in front of the stadium, right? I think the next thing is they're going to get another ban. It wouldn't surprise me if they pulled them from Copa America, right? Mm-hmm. And if they keep it up, they're going to lose their World Cup home game. I swear to God.
They're not going to lose.
Because I swear to God.
No, they're not.
I feel like
not a million years or not.
I don't think they will. It'd be great, like, if we actually had that type of accountability.
Yes, but not
FIFA's not the one.
Are you kidding me?
No,
you're just talking because that ain't ever gonna happen. They didn't even, like, in that game against the U.S. You could tell they're like, oh God, we got to stop the game, but are we gonna do it?
And it did. The referee was awful.
They were like, they couldn't even make the decision whether they're going to pause it, even though that was the protocol.
Yeah. Right. They were waited like, to like the third or fourth time you heard it. Like, right? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the protocol was, it wasn't, they cared, but they didn't. They were just like, oh my God, there's only 2 more minutes. Can we just go through 2 more minutes?
Yeah.
That's what they were thinking.
So wait, Cap.
That's the level. Okay. And you think they're going to take
Mexico out of the World Cup? Do you really think they are, or you wish they would?
I think that if they keep it up, I wish they would. But honestly, I'm not saying that they're going to do it for this, for sure.
Right.
But if it keeps going on and they cannot put a stop to it and they won't stop it, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think if it keeps going on, they should, but I don't think FIFA is going
to
do it.
What if they change the chant to something like, just like a bad curse word during...
That's fine.
Okay.
I have absolutely no problem with them cursing. They do it in England, whatever. You cannot have something that's racist. But, you cannot have something that's homophobic.
But I also... I do speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And el puta, as far as I know, in Spanish means bitch.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's what I thought.
It does.
Okay.
That's what it means, right? Okay. So I don't know this homophobic thing as far as you're saying... I don't know. That's not what...
But they know. All the people who are chanting it know it.
No,
why they know? You know the reason we know that they know it is because they didn't do it the whole game.
My point is let's just say that's it. Hypothetically, it means bitch in American, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're there. Let's change the chant to bitch during an American soccer game. Should we kick the U.S. fans out? I'm literally asking this.
Yes,
we should.
Yeah, there's no call for anything that can be termed racist. Because it's this fine line, right? You'd be like, oh, bitch or whatever. Right? So then you say, oh, monkey, and it's for the racism, right? Like, you know, you cannot allow that. So once upon a time in England, as you know, they had all kinds of language and they had people throwing bottles or whatever.
They still do.
And no, they have nobody throwing bottles at all, ever.
In the Premier League. Right, that's what I'm saying. That's number one, right? We got to erase that and then kick people out. But we definitely still have people saying bad words.
Oh, yeah, they have people, but the crowds are not chanting things that are racist or homophobic in England. They still are in Italy.
Italy is bad.
And it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because the players, there are players who quite rightly are like, fuck off. I don't want to play when they're, you know, treating the people like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no, in my opinion, there's no place for it in the game, regardless of whether you thread the needle and say, oh, maybe some people don't think it's whatever. Just stop.
Yeah. All right.
Right. And if you want to come up with a better word, you know, if you want to say, you know, asshole or whatever, I don't mind, you know, you just stay away from racist and homophobic.
Get him a body bag, Johnny.
Sure.
I'd probably eventually get thrown out for that too, probably. I don't know. That's my chance.
The thing that was so infuriating about it,
when the players roll around.
The thing that was so infuriating to me about it is that everybody knew better. They didn't do it the entire game. And then only when they were down 2-0, they were pissed off. And then they started it.
Yeah.
You're like, grow up.
Yeah.
Right? Because honestly, right? Like, you know, you're just, the only thing is you're pissed. You're down 2-0. Yeah.
That's human psychology there. You act like a baby, which is what they did.
Yeah.
I think that, and they were walking out. I feel like they were like, I can do this now because the worst that's going to happen, to me at least, is I get kicked out, and I was about to walk out anyway.
But the people are getting kicked out, particularly I'm more referring to not to what you're chanting because it's super hard to call. Yeah. But the people throw bottles or whatever, they need to be banned for life.
Yeah.
Right? They can't be in the stadium. Yeah. And it happens now over and over.
Yeah. That to me is facial recognition, whoop, you're gone.
Yeah, because you don't see it in American sports. You don't see it in MLS. To my mind, the only time I've seen it in soccer in the U.S. is in the U.S.-Mexico games. It's awful.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
So what else do I have in my notes
here? You know, I think that mars what is a really, really, really good rivalry, and I think they need to grow up. Like, root for your team, hate the other team, chant, you know, all you want, make fun of them, whatever. Don't say anything that's racist. Don't say anything that's homophobic. And stop being a sore loser.
With you.
I concur with that.
So, what else are we going to talk about? We talked about it all?
I'm trying to think. Is there any? I mean, I'm assuming we thought Berhalter did well or did okay or... Do we have any comments?
The actually interesting thing is that if you look at the tactics of Berhalter, it's a lot like the things that we hated about Pineda, right? He's got like the outside backs airplaning all the time up front and hanging out there and they're not having the dynamic. You know, it's funny because, again, Berhalter, just like Pineda, says, look, I'm being so aggressive attacking. We have all this whatever. But that's not actually attacking. Awesome if you have those guys going, but you've got to have the time movement.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just go up there and stand.
Question for you.
And you have to have guys back where you can recycle the ball.
Anthony Robinson.
Yes.
Has there been a better left back for the U.S. men's national team?
Never.
Okay.
Ooh.
I think he's fabulous.
He's leading the Premier League in, I think, tackles and balls won.
I love that guy.
He can defend. He can go forward. He can put in a good ball. I mean, he's
like a TAA, honestly. Classy. Like he's got.
Yeah, he's
got
real good. Package. He's quick. He's strong.
Overcommit. He's got the Miles Robinson. One-on-one.
He's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. There's some people going into this game after the Jamaica game. They were like, you know, there was this whole thing. Oh, Berhalter's got to go. And I'm no Berhalter fan or whatever. And they were like, you know, there were some people who were literally saying, well, he's got to go because we have this great golden generation and we still look like that.
Yeah.
Right. And then there were other people who were like, oh, no, the players are not good enough. I'm like, what are you watching? Because in my mind, McKinney, right? Adams, right? Pulisic, Weah, right? Robinson, right? These are some of the best players at their position we've ever had, and we have them all at once.
Yeah, and I mean,
and they're playing with incredible club teams to prove it.
And Dest may have been blessed by his biggest bonehead move ever in that game a couple months ago, right?
Before, the one where he kicked the ball,
before the World Cup, right? Because he knew he screwed up.
Yeah,
it was almost
Trinidad.
Like
Trinidad.
Yeah, and it was like that was your final chance.
He lost his mind.
It's kind of like a final chance type of thing. And hopefully that might be the big learning lesson for
him. He was in a dark place then. Yeah. You know, cuz he went to Barcelona, he originally started all those games and then he eventually went to the bench and then they sold him because they had financial trouble, right? And then he shows up at Juventus. Was it Juventus? No, AC Milan.
Yeah.
Right? And then he didn't touch the field there. He was there for 6 months or whatever, and then he left, right? And it was he was with nobody. Right? So then he shows up back at PSV, which is a much better club for him, right? A, there's a few Americans. B, it's a top, it's a good division, but not the best. It's one of the top sides. And that PSV team that has all the Americans, they're undefeated. They're in first place. They're going to win the Eredivisie.
Yeah, they're like way ahead, right?
Yeah, so they're having a blast, those Americans on the team, right? Yeah. Tillman and Dest.
Who's the previous manager of the U.S. soccer? What's his name?
Ernie Stewart.
Yeah, he's living the life over there now.
Yeah, he's their general manager. He's buying Americans.
He seemed pretty happy in an interview I watched. Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's in a really, really much, much better place. He's playing day in, day out. He's happier. Yeah, I mean.
Did you see the hug between Gio Reyna and Berhalter?
No, I
didn't. It was a hug. Oh. That was going to be the headline until the chance happened. There was going to be USA Today, Berhalter and Gio Reyna hug.
Feeling the love?
And instead it became the negativity. Oh. It was like so close to being kumbaya, Dave. Oh.
By the way.
Then they showed Gio's parents up there, the crazy sons of guns that they are.
They're crazy.
They are cray cray. Like, I know, is that still a word that they use, Carmen, out there?
I don't think anybody uses that anymore. Yeah,
probably not. But
I'm already 10 years old on cray cray.
Yeah.
I'm just catching up.
Hey, use it. Yeah. We're old.
Hey, if you guys haven't seen Strange Brew, listeners.
I want to say one more thing when you come to the hug or whatever, because one of the things I loved, right? So at the end of the last home game with Gigi and Saba, did you see the clip? So when Saba scored the goal, right, where he got up in the front and he beat the guy one-on-one and he scored, he did this crazy, like, celebration. Like, he pointed to his, what time is it? Or is it my Saba time or whatever? So I don't know. After the game, I don't know if you saw the clip. So Gigi was on the sidelines and Saba walks over and Gigi's like, and Saba starts like,
it's like, stop giving me a hard time.
Right?
It was hilarious. And they're clearly a good, rapport or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, give it to him, Gigi. Yeah, come on. Like, he's like, that was the dumbest celebration. He's like, I score goals all the time. Let me show you how to do
let
it.
Let me show you how to do it. Yeah.
Well, I do want to go back to Reyna real quick. The Colonel has asked, why do we think Reyna is not playing for his club?
Because he made a terrible decision. Right. So, and it's because it goes back to his parents. So his parents are fucking nuts.
And they hired the agent that was Ronaldo's agent, who made also instructed him to make a bad decision to go to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. So he's at
a relegation fighting club who doesn't need a creative player. They need a stuck in type of player. So the Colonel, that's why it's, if you're the coach, right? Which I don't know that he made the decision to sign Reyna. I don't think he did. Which is it Spirito Santo? Yes, I think my old Wolves coach, who's at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Very, which is interesting because he's actually a really good coach.
Yes, he is.
To coach Gio Reyna.
Yeah, like he's more of an attacking coach. He's not just a hunker.
Which in a team that is like in the mid-table, like trying to punch their way up, I think we'd see the best of Gio Reyna.
Yep.
But because they're like, you know, whatever they are, 18... or what are they in the table? They're like
really low, relegation zone. I
like
think
17, like right, 16,
maybe right outside,
right in that zone, right. So you have to play a style of soccer that is not necessarily fitting to Gio Reyna with these soft little touches. It is a stuck in type of game in the EPL when you're fighting, which is why what's his name was always the master at keeping the relegation teams up. That
Hodgson's
yeah. Like you're not going to get a creative
they're in the relegation zone at 18.
So
okay,
I don't think it's a an issue for Gio per se in terms of like, oh, he's not good anymore. It was a bad decision to for him to go there to begin with, from his parents and agent and him evaluating the chessboard and being like, that's the best move. That's my opinion.
I completely agree. So I think, so he's at Borussia Dortmund, right? And Borussia Dortmund has a reputation for playing all the young players and developing them, right? Bellingham is the last one, but it was Erling Haaland before that, right? You know, it was Jadon Sancho, who's now back to them. But they developed all these players, right? So he's at a great club where young players play and a terrific club, right? But he's not playing, right? He's 19, people.
Is he really?
He's 19 years old. I think you can look it up, but I think
he's 21.
Is he 21 now?
He's 21 now.
Really? Anyway, but he's still super young, right? Instead of actually having patience and actually earning the time and putting in the work, right? They're like, oh, he's not playing, so we got to move him around. This is the same thing that got him in trouble in the World Cup because his parents are like, oh, he's not playing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's clearly coming from, yeah, you got 21. But it's clearly coming from his parents. So he jumps ship. You're like, okay, so if you think you're not going to play, maybe whatever, maybe the coach doesn't like you. So go find PSV, a club that's really good and maybe a slightly lower division that's going to be on the ball a lot. You're going to have a lot of fun to show it, case or whatever. But no, just as you pointed out, he goes to a relegation side in the Premier League where they're going to be parking the bus and hoping to get a thing. And if you want an example of this, Almiron goes to Newcastle when they were a lower side parking the bus. He was awful. He wasn't awful. He was great the whole time, but he did nothing.
He wasn't awful. He was this close to being brilliant. Never quite there. You're like, oh, that's Almiron we know, but the rest of the team is not playing with him.
Right.
And the rest of the team is not playing with him.
As soon as they got the money and they got the better players, Almiron turns out to be a great player again.
Yeah.
So that's your example.
Yeah.
Right. That we know from Atlanta United, right? And so Gio Reyna, right, made a horrible decision. Who's advising these people? Like, I mean, if you go back to Zach Steffen.
It's Ronaldo's agent, man. He must be. That's why Ronaldo's never going to be in the conversation of the best player in the world.
Well, look,
he's got a bad agent. He doesn't even know how to move Gio to a team that can show him what to do.
You and I disagreed about Turner, right? When he went to Arsenal, right? I was like, stupid. He's never going to play, right? And he never played. Right, so you have.
I did disagree.
You can't just go and sign a big contract and be like, "I'm great," and I think it whatever. Make smart decisions. If you're going to move up your career, if you're an attacking player like Gio Reyna, you got to play with a team that's on the front foot. You can't play on a team that's bunkering. If you're Zach Steffen, do not go to Man City and play behind Ederson. You're a moron. He could have been the second or third best goalkeeper in the whole Premier League, and he was never playing a minute. Yeah. That's shambolic. Like, idiotic. Who advised him to do that? Like, who advised him to do that?
Yeah.
Because he could have gone to a whole bunch of other clubs and been the starting keeper and been a hero.
He saw the light.
Yeah.
Well, now, but he wasted, what, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years? Yeah. It was a long time, right? So Gio Reyna is going to be the same way. He's never going to be, even if he plays amazingly well, right, he's never going to be great at Nottingham Forest because they're just not on the ball enough.
Yeah.
They're under the cosh all the time.
Carmen.
Yes.
What else do you want to talk about? You look like you're ready for bed.
Oh, no. I just realized that we didn't even talk about the wine we were drinking.
Oh, we didn't we?
Yeah. I don't know how we missed it, but...
circle back.
Yes, circle back to the end. What are we drinking?
It was Klein Cabernet from California. What do you think?
It was fabulous.
It was good.
Yeah, I thought it was real silky. Mm-hmm. Smooth.
Ooh, is silky a word I can use to describe wine? Is that works?
Sure. Oh. I thought it was very full.
But also smooth.
Yeah, it was both. It was like fill your cheeks with grapiness and then it was smooth.
I like it.
I'm going to use that. Fill your cheeks with grapiness.
It was, right? My first sip, that's what I thought. I was like, man, this is like got a lot. And then it smoothed out as it tapered out. That was my impression.
We've clearly talked about it all.
I got nothing else. All right. Nothing
we're,
else.
We're done, people.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Football is life.
Football is life. Have a good one, people. Tuesday night here in Atlanta.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.